has reached his limit. It is now mid-August, which meant he'd been separated from Marsha for more than 2 months. 2 months, and all he had to show were 3 dog-eared letters and 2 very expensive long-distance phone calls. 2 when school had ended, she returned to Wisconsin, and he to Locust, Pennsylvania. She swore to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as an instrument. She would remain faithful. But lately, Walter had begun to worry. He had trouble sleeping at night. And when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his breathing pillow. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts. The thing was, he didn't understand what she really was. He wandered alone and understood this. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of his psyche. He had made her smile. She needed him, and he wasn't there. The idea came to him on a Thursday before the mother's parade, the schedule for dinner. He just finished mowing an action in Edison's Hall for $15,000, and then checked the mailbox to see if there's at least a word from Marsha. There's nothing but a circular from the American Living Company of America, inquiring into his honor.
Very, very best friend.
to the front screen door and into the kitchen. Good God, it's absolutely modern outside, she said. I know what you mean. Marsha tightened the belt on the cotton robe. Sheila ran her finger over some salt tray to the kitchen table, licked her fingers and made a face. That's supposed to be Jamie's song, though, she said. But they made me feel like throwing up. God, don't even talk about that, she said. We got up from the table and went to the sink. She picked up a bottle of pink and blue wine. One once, supposed to be made a mistake. And then attempted to touch her knees. I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again, she said. Sat down near the small table supporting the telephone. After last night, I thought you'd be through with him. I know what you mean. My God, he was like an octopus. Hands all over the place. She gestured as her arms are properly fixed. The thing is, after a while, you get tired of fighting with him, you know. And after all, I didn't really do anything Friday or Saturday. So I kind of owed it to him, you know what I mean? She started to scratch. Sheila was giggling with her hand over her mouth. I tell you, I felt the same way, and even after a while, bent forward in a whisper. I wanted to. Now she's laughing very loudly. It was at this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Post Office rang the doorbell of the large stucco-covered frame house. When Marsha Robson opened the door, he helped her carry the package in, had his yellow and green slit sign, and left for the chip that Marsha had gotten out of her mother's small pocketbook in the den. What do you think it is? She asked. Marsha stood with her arms folded behind her back, stared at the round cardboard carton and sat in the middle of the living room. I don't know. Inside the package, Waldo quivered with excitement as he listened to the muffled voices. Sheila ran her fingernail over the masking tape that landed on the center of the carpet. Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from? Waldo felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating footsteps. It would be soon. Mark walked around the counter, bending scarcely. God, it's from Waldo, she said. That schmuck, said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. Well, he might as well open it, said Sheila. And both of them tried to lift the flap. Whoa, said Marsha, groaning. He must have nailed it shut. Tucked in the flap again. My God, you need a power drill to get this thing open. They pulled again. You can't get a grip. Both stood breathing heavily. Why don't you get a scissors, said Sheila. Marsha ran into the kitchen, but all she could find was a little sewing scissors. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cover in her hand. This is the best I can find, she said, very out of breath. Here, you do it. I think I'm gonna die, she said, sinking into the couch and exhaling noisily. Sheila tried to make a slip between the masking tape at the end and the cardboard flap. But it was too big and there wasn't enough room. God damn this thing, she said, feeling very exasperated. Then smiling, I got an idea. What's it, Martin? Just watch, said Sheila. Inside the package, Waldo was so transfixed with excitement that he could barely breathe. skin from perfectly from the heat. You can feel his heart beating in his throat. We'll be singing. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around to the other side of the platform. Then she sank down on her knees, grasped the cutter by both handles, took a deep breath, and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and right through the center of Waldo Jeffers' skin, which split slightly and caused the little rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun.
A silver Mylar pillow floats solemnly from the pale hands of Andy Warhol through the factory window across the grainy New York skyline. And the sound embodying that unhurled work of art was perhaps a work of art itself, the Velvet Underground. They were the stark, elusive balloon that burst upon a deflated scene, injecting that scene with a radiance that connected poetry, the avant-garde, and rock and roll. They were a band of opposites, shooting freely from pole to pole, without apology, with dissonant beauty, trampling the flowers of peacemakers, treading the blonde depths, black in a white world, white in a black world. They opened wounds worth opening with brutal innocence, without apology, cutting across the grain, gritty, urbanic. And in their search for the kingdom, for laughter, for salvation, they explored the darkest areas of the psyche, and they reemerged, and they delivered up. All of these things can be deemed romantic. But one aspect can be truly romanticized, their work ethic, and the body they delivered up, which is being acknowledged this night. They are the Velvet Underground, and their work is the Clipper Ship. They are the Velvet Underground, and we salute them and mourn with them their captain, Sterling Morrison, who no doubt, in viewing these proceedings, might have a bit of mythical contempt for us all, but would also feel a secret pride. And may John Cale, Maureen Tucker, and Lou Reed share that pride. And may they be as the heroes of the song, Waltzing Matilda, who, when the sun rose and they made to leave, sha-la-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la-la, not one regretted a thing. We welcome the Velvet Underground to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'd like to thank all the people who worked so hard to get us in, and I just wanted to say how much we regret that our friend and fellow musician Sterling Morrison couldn't be with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud and honored, and as Lou and John, we're real sorry Sterling couldn't be here. Thank you.
This, of course, is shared by three other people, Sterling, Nico, and Andy. And this event makes an astonishing point to all the young musicians in the world that sales are not the be-all and end-all of rock and roll. And everyone should be encouraged through inspiration and artistic freedom is the cornerstone of rock and roll. Thank you.
This would have meant a lot to Sterling. He really wanted to be in the hall, and I know he would have loved this party. Thank you.
This is a song the three of us wrote for our friend Sterling Morrison, and it's called Last Night I Said Goodbye to My Friend.
Last night I said goodbye to my friend.
Last night
I said goodbye to my friend.
Last night
I saw his face and cried.
Last night
I wiped the tears from my eyes.
I sat with my friend, I kissed his cheek and held his hand.
Last night I said goodbye to my friend.
Last night, I said goodbye to my friend last night. I said goodbye to my friend last night. I saw his face and cried last night. I wiped the tears from my eyes.
I sat with my friend and I held his hand.
Last night, I said goodbye to my friend.
The truth, we've been friends so long, and I love you. I can't believe this happened, it can't be real. I don't know what to do or say or feel.
Last night, I said goodbye to my friend.
The mighty have fallen and all the idols fall. You were always saying you were 10 feet tall.
No, it's not for real. I don't know what to do or say or feel.
Last night, I said goodbye to my friend. Last night, I said goodbye to my friend. Last night, I said goodbye to my friend. Last night, I said goodbye to my friend.
It was 7 o'clock in the morning. The day at home, it was only 2:30. Skin on my wrist turning gray. Looked up, wished us good luck. He changed his attitude twice. The clock in the corner shivered in fear. It was tired and hungry for days. Bought a new stomach, a Liverpool made in Detroit. Constantly passing old matches to centuries and millionaires. Who did? Gallagher did. Same old thing every time. Gave up. More empty cups. They were tired and hungry for knives. Little easier to have Holland on the run. Didn't take that long to forget her, her old man and his gun. Rushed out, a lion's about, wasting away on advice. 103, 400 or more haunt you for the rest of your life.